This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
I like these calm little moments before the storm. It reminds me of Beethoven. Can you hear it? It's like when you put your head to the grass, you can hear it crawling. You can hear the insects.
The calm before the Barbenheimer storm, indeed. Oh, we are a week out from one of the most hyped Hollywood weeks of recent memory. And yes, it's all kicking off. In fact, not only are we now in the calm before the storm, but we may in fact be in the eye of the storm, as the SAG union, the Screen Actors Guild, has recommended that they should join the Hollywood writers and go on strike. Sure, by the time I finish recording this podcast, they will most likely be on strike. Crazy times, crazy times. So, am I here to tell you that this week's pod is an empty, vacuous vessel filled with nothing for you to watch ahead of next week's madness? In cinemas, yeah, I'd say it's a bit ropey-dopey. But on streaming, despite all the hype ahead for July 21st, this week's streaming content drop is extremely impressive and filled with some absolute crackers, with a little bit of something for everyone. I'm David O'Callaghan. This is the Here and Back Again podcast. Shall we begin?
Last summer, salt air felt like a dream. And the rust on your door, I never needed. It was unlike any other summer. And I can see it's twisting, but she talks. I want to memorize it all. You never know the last time you'll see a place. A person. I knew I'd lose Susanna eventually. I just didn't know I'd end up losing all of them.
First up this week, Jenny Han's The Summer I Turned Pretty returns for a second season on Prime Video. The first season was a huge success for Amazon, so it's no surprise that this one arrives with all the hype, the buzz, and promotion. As someone said the other day, I actually thought this was out already. Like, it's on buses. I've never seen that in, like, it's absolutely mad. They've been advertising it for about 2 months now. And yeah, I actually thought it was out. And that's how crazy it is. Season 2 is based on It's Not Summer Without You, the second book in Jenny Han's best-selling young adult series. And this season sees Belly face several obstacles, like Conrad and Jeremiah both vying for her heart. Ah, the trials and tribulations of young love. Nothing says YA drama better than a love triangle featuring two brothers. Ah, good times, good times. There's plenty of other drama, as you would expect from this series, but I'm going to go with jealousy as being the overarching theme of the new season. The first 3 episodes stream today, and people are pumped and hyped for this one. So that is The Summer I Turned Pretty, Season 2, now on Prime Video.
Look who decided to call.
Has there been another murder?
Huh? Actually.
Hit me with that unique rom-com sequel.
This is not a sequel. Number one suspect is the bride, Zoe's sister.
Grace didn't do it.
We got a dead body and a whole lot of people to talk to. What's your name? You're fine as hell.
Sebastian. Travis.
Christopher Miller's genre-hopping murder mystery, The After Party, is back for a second season on Apple TV+. While the first murder took place at a school reunion, this extended 10-episode season takes place at a wedding. 3 characters return from the first season, played by Tiffany Haddish, Sam Richardson, and Zoe Chow. And new suspects this season include Zach Woods, Elizabeth Perkins, Poppy Liu, Anna Conkle, Jack Whitehall, Vivian Wu, and Paul Walter Hauser. I absolutely loved, adored, chuckled away at the first season, and you can expect a similar format this time around, where each episode reveals a different character's viewpoint of the murder using a genre matched to that character. I'm particularly excited to see Paul Walter Hauser's episode, as that man knows how to make me laugh. Ah yes, quality stuff. Absolutely nonsense, absolutely funny, absolutely love it. That is The After Party Season 2 on Apple TV+. The first two episodes are now streaming.
Let's go upstairs now and read, okay? Why does the NFL have so many rules against hitting quarterbacks? The quarterback throwing a pass is wide open for dangerous hits. An injury to the quarterback can sink a team's entire season.
Damn it!
I'm gonna take you out here.
No! Hell no! I'm good.
This is about as close as they'll ever get to seeing what it's like to be a quarterback in this league.
I dedicate my life to football.
All day, all day.
Omaha. Yes. Red 24, whatever the hell. Yes. I'm very excited. You know me. I love my sports docs. And oh boy, NFL films and Netflix have a doozy this week. We have Quarterback, which is an 8-episode series which follows 3 quarterbacks in the NFL throughout the 2022 season, giving us an unprecedented look at what it takes for the Kansas City Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes, the Minnesota Vikings' Kirk Cousins, and the Atlanta Falcons' Marcus Mariota to survive their roller coaster seasons. And what seasons they were. Oh, yes. Following them throughout the entire season, we see what they do on a Sunday night after a big win or a Monday after a brutal loss. This, as you know and probably can tell, has me and my little sports brain quite excited. While having Patrick Mahomes as part of the documentary is absolutely amazing, and what a legend that man is, I feel that Kirk Cousins is going to be the breakout star of this show. While it's not going to be HBO Hard Knocks level amazing, I still think this has hit show written all over it and will be a fascinating watch. And for those of us who, yes, love American football, it can only get us excited and pumped for the new season when, yes, people, it's true, the New York Jets are finally going to come good. You heard it here first. The Jets are back, baby. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. Anyway, that's Quarterback, the new series now on Netflix.
What are you doing in Barcelona?
I found her. They've been traveling together, trying to find her mother.
What about you?
How did you get to us?
Lo que estamos viendo no son casos aislados.
With thousands of cases in Spain.
Cover your eyes and avoid visual contact.
Bird Box Barcelona on Netflix is a spin-off from the 2018 post-apocalyptic movie Bird Box, obviously, which starred Sandra Bullock. But this is not a direct sequel, and don't know what it is. All I know is it's moving the action from America to Spain, follows a father and daughter as they join up with those trying to survive this dystopian future in which no one can look at entities that have invaded and roam the earth. All very Quiet Place-y. I really, really liked Bird Box. I thought it was a fantastic movie and, yes, quite stressful. And while this one doesn't have the star power of Sandra Bullock, who gives a crap? It's Bird Box. It's creepy as hell. I'm in. I'm all in. I love the premise of the first one, and it's a big dystopian horror brand IP with a new chapter for us to watch. So, feck it. Get the popcorn and the vino in. Sign us up. That's Bird Box, Barcelona, a nice Spanish Rioja. Is Rioja Spanish? I have no idea. But anyway, it's now on Netflix.
Despair, death, destruction. This is even bigger than the last crisis.
An empire breathes respect. It requires it for its life.
The Foundation is a threat to me.
I will look at them in the eye and reclaim what is ours.
Foundation Season 2 lands on Apple TV+, and that white noise you hear in the background is the sound of hardcore sci-fi nerds around the world rejoicing. Rejoice! It's back! Loosely based on the award-winning novels by Isaac Asimov, Foundation chronicles a thousand-year saga of, yes, the Foundation. A band of exiles who discover that the only way to save the Galactic Empire from destruction is to defy it. Down with the capital! This one takes place over a century after the previous season. Jared Harris and Lee Pace return to lead the cast. And yeah, again, I absolutely friggin' adored the first season. I loved it. It's highbrow sci-fi shit. And it's got some fairly intricate plots. I didn't know what was going on half the time. It's got some stunning special effects. All that money is on your screen. And definitely has that sense of we are in no rush here to tell the story. We're going to go at our own pace. And you know what? The show is all the better for it. Love it. I love it. So that is Foundation Season 2. Hardcore sci-fi fans need only apply now on Apple TV+. And speaking of hardcore fans, yes, folks, yes. Get ready. Because Too Hot to Handle Season 5 is now on Netflix. For those of you who care, and I am fully aware that you are legion, it's landed. It's out there. As far as I can tell, yet another group of hot young people think they are taking part in a new fictional reality TV show before actually being told they are on Too Hot to Handle, where they will be banned from engaging in any sexual activity or risk being fined and losing money from the grand prize fund. No idea what's going on. This season is seemingly set on a Caribbean cruise. What can go wrong? With yet again, as I said, a group of hot and gorgeous influencers. Someone called Lana may be returning. I have no idea what that means, but my friends, that's all you need to know. You just put your feet up and go enjoy yourself because you know who you are. Do not let people tell you it's wrong to watch such quality nonsense. That is Too Hot to Handle, Season 5, now on Netflix. Tss. Ow. Sizzle. Hot stuff. Stop your creeping people out. I did the work.
It didn't work. It's time to put Mavis first. I'm here for you.
This is me trying to be single at 38.
And to start over.
Being a roommate, it's a special kind of friend. I think we should breathe together.
Did you have Shake Shack today?
I'm trying to grow my brand. I want to take fashion and dress women to help them love their bodies.
I want you to be my stylist.
How does my cleavage look?
Sitting pretty like two coconuts.
Look at you, celebrity stylist!
In Survival of the Thickest on Netflix, Michelle Buteau stars as Mavis Beaumont, a black plus-sized woman who is a struggling, newly single stylist who must learn to find herself again before throwing herself back into the dating scene. This comedy series is an adaptation of Buteau's own book of essays of the same name. She's determined to thrive and not just survive. Yes, this looks like a whole lot of fun, a good old bubblegum distraction, perfect for any downtime you have. As I'd always say, get that iron board out, prep yourself, and just enjoy. Bit of chuckles, bit of this, you know. Glamorous was a bit of fun. This kind of like Glamorous, but not. Anyway, that is Survival of the Thickest, now on Netflix. Some new anime out there for about 6 months now. Fans of Bleach, the thousand-year blood war, have been rocking back and forth in anticipation after part one's cliffhanger. Well, part two is now finally available to stream on Disney+. And this second part is called The Separation. Mixing all sorts of genres from horror to fantasy to action, this anime series should keep manga heads absolutely enthralled. And yeah, what's not to love? So that is Bleach, The Thousand Year Blood War, Part 2, now on Disney+. For a slightly younger age group, the younger smallies out there, we have Sonic the Hedgehog in the form of Sonic Prime Season 2, which returns to Netflix with more, you know, mad speeding mayhem and carnage. Again, a really popular animated show for the little ones. That's Sonic Prime Season 2, now on Netflix. In the non-English section this week, first up for any K-drama heads out there, we have 19 to 20 on Netflix. A group of young adults share their last week of their teens and the first week of their 20s together, experiencing freedom and all the firsts of adulthood. Listen, you're either a K-drama head or you're not. But that's 19 to 20 now on Netflix. Coming from Poland this week, we have the family-friendly movie Mr. Carr and the Knights Templar. When an art historian finds an ancient Templar cross, he must join forces with an unlikely group of young adventurers on a quest to unlock the relic's secrets. Absolute nonsense. That's Mr. Carr and the Knights Templar, which is now on Netflix from Poland. And finally from Japan, and based on the manga series Burn the House Down, this one follows Anzu Murata, who 13 years after the home of the wealthy Matari family was burned in the fire, she infiltrates the house of the Mataris as a housekeeper in order to reclaim the house and family that was taken from her. No idea what's going on here. Lots of sketchy shenanigans. But anyway, that is Burn the House Down, now on Netflix.
Hillsong is a megachurch, and Carl Lentz is the celebrity pastor.
People idolized him.
I had some major lies.
He said, I've been unfaithful.
Carl was fired, but there was something larger happening at this church.
They were protecting something.
What are they protecting?
It's child abuse, labor abuse, sexual assault.
We are fearful of what is ahead.
I've never seen anything like this.
The Secrets of Hillsong, now on Disney Plus, is a four-part documentary based on the investigative reporting of Vanity Fair journalists and charts the controversial Australian Christian megachurch Hillsong. Oh, this is one sketchy group of people. They have a history of misconduct among staff, they've been the subject of sexual abuse scandals, and it has some pretty damning views on homosexuality. Among its more famous Hollywood congregants, we had Austin Butler, Chris Pratt, Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, and Kendall Jenner. You know me, I absolutely love a holier-than-thou, super successful megachurch getting its comeuppance documentary. So, I was all in on this one, and it does not disappoint. Holy crap, this one is absolute box office. Bleak as hell, fascinating watch. Oh, my God, absolute nut jobs. Some of these, Anyway, what can I say? You're going to love it. It gets dark and it's just really well put together. Following the journalist as it all unravels is just absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I would highly recommend it. It's, as I said, it's four parts. I've done the first three and yeah, we're talking binge heaven. Well, some of them won't be gone to heaven. But anyway, that is The Secrets of Hillsong, now on Disney+.
We've had some difficulties.
Apparently marriage has challenges.
There was some bloodshed.
She tried to kill me.
I did.
Well, that shakes a man.
How can we trust each other?
Faith.
Annoying answer.
Agreed.
All hail Catherine the Great! Huzzah!
Huzzah! The Empress and I are at peace.
In truce, in love.
I may have some latent anger at times.
Understood.
And finally this week, I have good news and I have bad news. Yes, the good news is that, huzzah! Elle Fanning returns as Catherine the Great and Nicholas Holt as Peter III, Russia's most dysfunctional couple in season 3 of The Great. The bad news have now dropped on a streamer called, yes, Lionsgate Plus. Not a single person I know has Lionsgate Plus, which used to be called the nonsensical Starz Play. What are you going to do? However, there's a glimmer. There's a glimmer of hope. If you do not want to add another streamer to your library, who does, and you are obsessed with this show or need to see it, well, do you know what? Just sit back, relax, and wait for 10 weeks. I know it's a long time, but just wait for 10 weeks. Because this is dropping weekly. Well, it's probably about 8 weeks because it's two episodes this week. Let season 3 drop. And then in a stealth piece of churning, get your 7-day free trial of Lionsgate and binge the absolute hell out of it. Huzzah is right. Yes, that's The Great. Season 3. Now on some lone streamer out there called Lionsgate Plus. Ah, bless Lionsgate Plus. Anyway, that's your streaming for the week. Sure, who needs The Great, because there's some good, there's bad, and there's ugly all over the place there this week. So plenty, plenty, plenty to keep you occupied. Cinema-wise, as I said, yeah, they're kind of keeping their powder dry and getting ready for the madness of next week. But, yeah, there's one or two options, so let's take a look at cinema.
Freediving is one of the world's deadliest extreme sports.
It's very simple. The deepest dive wins.
You've got to swim the length of a 70-story skyscraper.
3, 2, 1.
Freediving is an extreme sport. And extreme sports have extreme consequences.
First up this week, we have The Deepest Breath. This is from County Kildare director Laura McGann, who unleashes her new documentary on limited cinema release this weekend. And then, just so you know, it's dropping on Netflix next Wednesday, July 19th. A free diver trains to break a world record with the help of an expert safety diver. This film follows the path they took to meet at the pinnacle of the freediving world, documenting the rewards and risks of chasing a dream through ocean depths. Ooh. This is getting absolutely wonderful, amazing reviews across the board. People are losing their mind. People I trust have seen it and said it's absolutely fantastic. So you have two options. If you can, it's on limited release now in cinemas. Very limited, but it's out there. So hunt it down, because I would highly recommend it, seeing it on the big screen, because it is an absolute thing of beauty. And if you can't make it to the cinemas, don't worry, because next Wednesday, July 19th, The Deepest Breath will be dropping on Netflix. So just make sure you have a big telly. Whichever you choose, just make sure you choose. This one is an absolute cracker. That is The Deepest Breath. Sports documentaries. What is not to love? Just bail in. Just embrace it. Hope you can swim.
It's another glorious morning on Puffin Rock. It's a great place to... Una! I was in the middle of my intro.
I'm Una. This is Mossy, May and Baba. Come with us and we'll show you around. I've someone I'd like you to meet. Isabel, Marvin and Phoenix. They're new to Puffin Rock.
I'll never be able to remember all these names.
Also out this week in cinemas, we have Puffin Rock and the New Friends, which is an animated adventure for up to 6-year-olds, brought to us by Cartoon Saloon and Dog's Ears Animation Studios. Based on the Puffin Rock series from 2015, this feature-length movie, did I struggle? I'm not going to lie. I absolutely get that this one is not for me. It's for preschoolers, but sweet Jeebus, was I bored. It's kind of half-written. Was it even written? It's kind of got random half songs, not even full songs. It's quite repetitive. Oh, the script. Is there a script? I don't know. This, I'm telling you, is not Ponyo. But, you know, what can I say? Do not in any way be fooled by the tagline from the makers of Wolfwalkers, which was a absolute gem. That's nonsense. And it's a bum steer, because this is... made for YouTube type stuff. I know, cruel to be kind, but I'm not even being kind. But hey, maybe it never claimed to be anything more than a short movie based on a somewhat popular cartoon from our past, aimed at absolute smallies who will just run around the cinema and wreck the gaff. For me, a cinematic release seems like a huge stretch. You know, Chris O'Dowd, Amy Humerman, they're all there. So, whatever. If this is what you need in your life, or you just need for your little ones, as I said, to run around the cinema and cause carnage, you go ahead and leap into the heart of the storm. Me, I'll happily stay on dry land and well away from Puffin Rock from here on. I'm not going to lie. It's just... anyway, I'll just shut up, because I'm just a curmudgeon. I'll move on. I will, right now. Also, do not forget, I repeat, do not forget, but Big Bad Tom is out in the world. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. Even though I reviewed it last week, it was obviously released on Monday because you now officially have 1 week. 1 week, folks, before it leaves the big giant IMAX screens, or the biggest screens you have. Because, as I keep on saying, Oppenheimer and Barbie are coming fast. So, yes, that is a movie you need to see on the biggest screen possible. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1, is also kind of technically out this week, even though it was out since Monday. Go, Tom. Keep running. Keep running, Tom. And that's your cinema. Highs and lows. Highs and lows. Too much water, for me anyway. So there you go. It's, as you can tell, it's, they're just clearing the decks and getting ready for Barbenheimer. What else we got for you? Oh, music. Let's talk about music. Anybody who witnessed Gabriel's on Jules Holland's, or even during the recent Glastonbury coverage, can now rejoice in proper soulful gospel style, as this London LA trio have finally released a complete version of their debut album Angels and Queens. This, folks, is next level shit. I mean, Jacob Lusk, what a feckin' lead vocalist. It just lifts you away. I cannot recommend this one enough. So I just wanted to highlight it. That's Angels and Queens, the debut album, out now from Gabriel's. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Right, now what else we got? What else are we looking at? Oh yes, three things in pop culture this week that caught our eye. Well, it's really only two things. We mentioned earlier, I'm not going to go into it because it still hasn't been 100% confirmed, but the actors look like they're going on strike for the first time since 1980, and it's the first time since 1960 that the writers and the actors went on strike together. Oh shit, it's all getting a bit too real, folks. Anyway, what we are going to focus on in this roller coaster week is you've a strike on one hand, but then the Emmys 2023 nominations were announced yesterday. Why is this of interest to us? Well, because one, it gives us an idea of the dominant forces in streaming at the moment. And two, it can also be helpful in sometimes directing people to shows with all the buzz that they may have missed or, well, simply ignored. Look at The Bear last year. A lot of people went, not watching that stupid thing. And then, oh, all kicked off. So, what we got happening this week? Well, again, leading the battle, it seems to be Warner Discovery through HBO and HBO Max, or just Max, who got 127 nominations, and Netflix, who got 103 nominations. Shows-wise, the three most nominated belong to HBO, with Succession getting 27 nominations, White Lotus getting 24 nominations, and The Last of Us, bailing in, new show, getting 23 nominations. House of the Dragon and Barry also got some shoutouts. Although House of the Dragon got no acting nominations. Netflix was well represented by Beef, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, and Wednesday. While Disney / Hulu did extremely well with nominations for Only Murders in the Building, The Bear, Andor, and Fleischman in Trouble. Apple, yeah, they had Ted Lasso. And while Bad Sisters was basically ignored, Sharon Horgan did get a nomination, so we'll take whatever we can get. Amazon will be happy enough with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Daisy Jones and the Six getting some decent noms. However, Lord of the Rings, for all the bajillions they spent on it, got a few nominations, but in very small categories. No acting, obviously, because the acting was absolutely crap. And then finally, Yellow Jackets, Abbott Elementary, and Poker Face are also in the race. So that's your lot as regards where the chips are falling. Interesting. These are the shows with all the chatter around them for the next few months. And despite the awards ceremony still being planned for September, looks like with the old strike coming, this may be pushed back to November or December. Well, but it does mean you'll have plenty of time to catch up on those shows you haven't seen. Oh, one show I did mention, which was probably the biggest surprise, is one called Jury Duty, and it's on Prime Video in the US. It hasn't arrived here, weirdly, and it got 13 nominations. Hopefully it'll turn up here. And it's basically a whole setup of a juror who everybody, including the judge and the rest of the jury and just everybody, is in on the joke, and there's only one guy who has no clue what's going on. And it's all about a trial with James Marsden, and James Marsden plays James Marsden, and he's in on the joke. So absolutely mad stuff, but God knows when we'll get to see this, hopefully soon. As for snubs, everybody loves a big snub. Well, Harry and Meghan, bless, they didn't get a sniff. And yes, while Sharon Horgan did get nominated, it was a pity to see Bad Sisters miss out overall. Speaking of dodgy Irish accents, Helen Mirren also missed out for her 1923 role, alongside Harrison Ford, who also missed out for Shrinking. So there you go. That is your Emmy 2023 nominations roundup. Some, hopefully there's some shows there you might have went, oh, I didn't watch that, must watch that. And yeah, some good stuff. And I think, yeah, we'll just head off and chill out and watch some of that quality content that's dropped this week. And on that note, yes, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there, post-credits traveler. Welcome yet again to the Thunderdome. You're again, I see, looking for some hidden gems or nuggets in the afterlife of the pod. Well, have we got a meandering, waffly tale for you this week? First up, oh yes, and this is kind of the lead to the overall direction of this week's tale, but we actually have a new movie called Breaking Point, which is now available on Sky Cinema as a Sky Original. It's not even in the main body of the pod. What am I doing? I'm going mad. This is a tale of, you'll understand, promise you'll understand. This is a tale of two adopted brothers filled with resentment for each other after the loss, sadly, of their mother. But, however, despite this resentment, they are united by their love of, wait for it, breakdancing. Oh, hell yes! Breakdancing is back, baby! So of course they find themselves thrust together as they embark on a journey for the gold medal at the World's Breakdancing Championships, representing Team GB. Absolute, utter, beautiful, step-up style movie nonsense. That's Breaking Point from today on Sky Cinema. And this, my friends, leads me down the nostalgia route, and our dear sketchy friend, White Van VHS Man. Oh, it's been a while, man. It's been a while. This movie got me thinking about the fad movies of the 80s and how Hollywood, you know, sees something street or cool and immediately attempts to cash in on this trend before it becomes obsolete or uncool. And first up, and a regular feature on the inside wall of the murder van, were the Break-In movies. Yes, Break-In was released in cinemas in 1984 and was available by the year's end in my sitting room for repeat viewing. In this one, a struggling young jazz dancer, of course, meets up with two breakdancers, and together they become the sensation of the street crowds. Oh my god, absolute gorgeous cheese. And what's amazing is that we all know that 7 months is not a long time in cinema life, but in 1984, 7 months after the release of Breaking, the even more successful Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, this is not a drill, people, was released. In this one, a developer tries to bulldoze a community recreation centre, and yes, the local breakdancers step in and try to stop it. Oh, big bad corporate shenanigans. And yes, surprise, surprise, a very bleeding young Ice-T also appears on our screens. Yes, breakdancing was all the rage back in Newcastle, County Dublin in the mid-80s. I myself couldn't moonwalk to save my life. And, well, my older brother Paul, he never had any rhythm, just long metal hair. However, I may be wrong, but I do believe my younger brother Pat could break a few moves, pop a few beats. Or maybe I dreamt that. We'll have to ask him to, unleash the Kraken next time I see him. Anyways, the trend of Hollywood and breakdance movies lasted for literally that year, as it didn't really catch on worldwide. So these two movies became my breakdance Bibles for years to follow, and were regularly rented amongst me and my crew, because we loved breakdancing and we weren't going to be defeated, even though in the end we were. The other trend that was started in the mid-80s by a certain Elliot in E.T. was BMX bikes. Yes, within a year of E.T. being an absolute smash, the Aussies figured out that it wasn't aliens that were cool. Also, they couldn't afford the special effects. But BMXs. BMXs were much cheaper to render. And in 1983, BMX Bandits was released. This was about a trio of teen BMX enthusiasts who became entangled with a group of bank robbers after discovering their cache of walkie-talkies. A quite wonderful, enjoyable crime caper. Newcastle was flooded with cool kids spending their hard-earned confirmation money on a bike that was not a rally chopper. Me, personally, I went with an all-red Marlboro BMX bike. Yes, because Subtle is my middle name. And I cycle around that neighbourhood with a swagger of adamant on the dance floor in Prince Charming. Oh, yes. I was the schniz, as they say. In 1986, then, we had Rad. This was the story of one young man, Crew Jones. And Crew's toughest decision? Qualify for Hell Track, a huge BMX racing championship, or take the SAT in order to attend college. Winning Hell Track means $100,000 and a new Chevrolet Corvette. And, of course, a bit of fame. I'll let you guess which one he chose. And of course, as you would expect, both movies absolutely bombed, despite BMXs being the most popular bike on the planet for about 4 years. And yet again, Hollywood moved on to another trend, because they were like, these are the worst trends ever, let's get out of here. But fear not, thanks to the white van VHS man, access to these gems remained for many a year. So yes, breakdancing and BMXing were once a global phenomenon that stretched even to a small village in the county of Dublin. And we bopped and cycled those streets with all the style of a newborn gazelle. We were invincible thanks to these moving images of what our lives could be. Anyway, mini trends will live and die. Hollywood will bail in, succeed or fail, and then move on to the next thing. However, for the rest of us, we will always cherish these moments. Oh, we will always have them. And we'll always wish that once, just once, we could catch that windmill or rotate that headspin. Or hell, even achieve a simple bunny hop or double bar spin before ourselves moving on to that next fad. Told you it was wandering, told you it was meandering, told you it was complete, beautiful nonsense. There you go, folks. See you on the other side.
Breaking news from Hollywood land, which is tonight in disarray, as actors' guilds have decided to join their writer comrades on gone on strike against the studios and the impending AI apocalypse. Picket lines will be in effect from tomorrow, and no premieres, interviews, free shit, or promoting movies and actual acting may now take place until the dispute is settled. In other news, San Diego Comic-Con is now well and truly a con just for comics. More breaking news soon.